This podcast is brought to you by sarahraven.com, which is home to everything you need for a truly beautiful and productive garden. You'll also find great and essential gardening kit and stylish, lovely things to have in your house to bring the outside indoors, all inspired by the garden and the house being tied together. There's also plenty of garden inspiration, how-to videos and specialist growing guides. So head over to sarahraven.com today to discover even more. Welcome to Grow, Cook, Eat, Arrange, our jobs for the month of May. And so I'm going to hand straight over to Josie Lewis, our head gardener at Purchill, to describe the importance of our first job, which is planting out dahlias.
Yes, so planting out dahlias we can get on with now that we think the frosts are over.
Yep.
So once they're in the ground, you need to put your staking in. But you do get some lower ones, like Totally Tangerine, you may get away with without staking. But anything that's 75 centimetres and above, I would definitely put staking in because, you know, they snap so easily if they're not staked and then you've lost them. So if you're just growing one or three dahlias in a border, then stake them with a triangle or five hazel sticks, whatever you're using, canes, and string in between, you know, as much string as possible, really. It'll all get covered with the foliage. So this might be, at this time of year, in May, above the dahlias, so it'll look a bit odd for a few weeks, but yeah, the dahlias will grow all through it. You know, we go, because we grow beds of dahlias here, we tend to use chestnut posts at the edges, infill with hazel posts, and then we use hop twine because it's slightly thicker than jute twine and it holds them better in place, you know, especially the whopper dahlias, which get quite big.
Great. And the other thing is planting tomatoes. So dahlias and tomatoes, both half-hardy plants, both hail, I think, from South America. Pretty sure they do. And with tomatoes, if you've got a greenhouse or a polytunnel, you can plant them early in the month. If you haven't, you want to plant them and they're going in the garden, you want to plant them late in the month. We use ring culture pots here, which have two chambers, an inner chamber for the roots, and those are the feeding roots, and an outer chamber which channels the water down to the water roots, which are below, deep down in the soil, so below the feeding roots. And you can make your own ring culture pots by just using a plastic bottle, cutting the base off, and that's the top of your funnel, and angle that at a sort of 30-degree angle towards your plant and bury it deep, leaving the lid on and perforating it with a skewer. And then you use, where you've cut off the base, you put your hose or your watering can and use it as a funnel, and it'll then funnel the water dripping out through the perforated lid to the roots, the water roots, deep down in the soil of your tomatoes. And you put them in at planting, and you always need to stake your tomatoes, whether in or out, to support them as they grow. And then, Josie, you're planting pots like Billy at the moment.
Yes, yeah, favourite job of the year, planting up the pots. So we're always guided by planting a thriller, a filler, a spiller, and sometimes a pillar. So if you've got a big whopper pot, I would go for a dahlia in the centre, something quite tall. Molly Raven maybe looks really good in pots. Quite a big dahlia, but fine in a big pot. And then as a filler with that, I would use a grass like Panicum, Frosted Explosion, lovely, something like that.
Yeah.
And then the spiller would be a petunia or a calibrachoa of some sort. And those three sit really well together.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But, you know, you can go for smaller pots, same principle, but just take everything down to a, you know, use Nemesias and the verbenas as the spillers. I think if you stick to that principle, then you'll always have a balanced pot. You know, be mindful of colours as well, but we won't get into colours here.
And then for a whopper pot, you'd add a pillar, wouldn't you, to give you that height? And so you'd grow, one of the annual plants. Great. Obviously, May, hopefully it's not as wet as it's been through the rest of the spring, but it's slug and snail alert time. And really, it's just, well, if you're up late in the evening, go out with a torch and go out with a bucket and drop them, slugs and snails, into a bucket of boiling water. And that will obviously cause immediate demise. And you can feed them to your hens if you have any, or local ducks at the park. But it's really just keeping on top of them. You can use something called Nemaslug, which is really effective from the middle of April onwards. Biological control are particularly effective against slugs if you have a bad problem. Always concentrate any treatment on walls and box edging and hedging, because that's where they spend their days. And then they come out and you've laid them a dinner party every night and they go back in there in the day. And then just keeping a real alert on lupin aphid. And what we do here, if we get aphid on our lupins, is we bring all our bird feeders into the patch where they are, draw the garden birds in to feed from the bird feeders, and then they will quite quickly see these juicy great aphids on the lupins, and they will hopefully keep them clean. So that's it for May, and I hope those were useful, and we will be back with more in June. If you've enjoyed this episode of Grow, Cook, Eat, Arrange, I'd really love it if you reviewed, rated and subscribed on wherever you listen to your podcasts. It'll help new listeners to know that we're here and enable us to keep getting the very best and most interesting guests week after week.